On this tape, I will give you all you need to establish your confidence.
I want to talk to you for a few minutes about stammering or stuttering.
Take your time and try to speak clearly.
It ain't my fault I stuttered.
You're going to stop that stuttering or get the hell out of here.
God, I surely would be great. Great for anything you could do for me.
No.
You tell him, Porky.
That's all, folks.
Some of the world's brightest people have been stuttering.
Stuttering, motherfucker!
She can't be in the club.
Best route out of victimhood is to move from passive to assertive.
Happy speaking.
A good way to cure yourself from saying ums and ahs is closing your mouth.
Stuttering inhibition via choral or unison speech techniques.
How I turned my biggest challenges into success.
It was clear early on that Molly had trouble turning thoughts into words.
Conscious breathing techniques.
A group hug? Are you kidding me? I've been depressed and pissed off about my stuttering for all my life, and you want me to hug somebody?
Oh, and you know, for many people, public speaking is one of their fears.
My voice sounds horrible.
Speaking is a privilege.
Okay, welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. Eric Jackson here with my sweaty cohort, Peter Reitzis.
Not sweaty yet. Working
soon
on.
To be sweaty cohort, Peter Reitzis, and special guest, Roisin McManus. Hey, Roisin, what's up?
Hi.
Special return guest.
Special return guest. And I have to say, and I hope that this isn't embarrassing, but it's so great to see a female who stutters, who looks you straight in the eye the entire time and uses virtually no avoidances.
Is that rare for girls who
It's incredibly
stutter?
Rare as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
Well, my experience has been that women have better eye contact, so... But it's interesting because I value what you're saying, Eric. I've just had a different experience.
Okay. And we have a couple of announcements at the top of the show here. First, I got a CD in the mail today from our pal Joel Cordy. He put together a benefit CD in honor of his brother, Chase. And it's a bunch of songs that are dedicated, written by a bunch of different bands, to his brother, Chase, who passed away in a car accident a couple years ago. And you can get this CD mailed to you, personally filled out with a special envelope by Joel, if you make a donation of Stutter Talk. Make a donation to Stutter Talk in the amount of $6 or more. And just be sure to include on the details Joel Cordy benefit.
And your mailing address that you want the CD to go to. And lastly, for what it's worth, Joel and his brother Chase are both people who stutter. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have mentioned that.
Random people.
I feel like we've been talking about them on the show a lot lately, so
actually,
I didn't think I had to, Peter.
Roisin, you went through therapy with Joel, right?
No.
Actually, Roisin just finished an intensive program at AIS, the American Institute for Stuttering, the same one that Joel and I did, and we kind of want to hear how things are going.
So things are good.
No,
I didn't get that either. Dude.
I'm just pointing to Peter. I was pointing over to his notes, and it was supposed to be one of those like, yeah, just keep the show going. But I distracted the whole thing. So please, Roisin.
Okay, so it's been about a month. Hence the intensive ended. For the first probably week, I was kind of like head in the clouds. I wasn't really practicing at all. I wasn't really trying to use any tools. But I also wasn't like consciously trying to openly stutter. It was kind of like all the old avoidance behavior that I had and the fears that I had before the intensive immediately sort of rushed back.
So it's like you sort of came back to earth a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the time, it was kind of easy for me to forget that the whole thing had even happened. Not to forget that it had happened, but the people that I had been with for the past 3 weeks were gone. And with the whole thing was just kind of real almost.
What we often refer to that as crashing. So would you, do you, in your own mind, did you crash?
No, okay. I don't think I crashed, because to be honest with you, like during the intensive, and when the intensive was over, I didn't particularly fly up to crash. The whole time I was having a lot of questions and sort of concerns that they were kind of whole. Holding me back from sort of taking it in as like a magical like transformation. So for the first week after, I was just sort of on like in a cloud almost. And then I started talking to people who were in the intensive with me, and a lot of them were having like a similar experience. So sort of the same old fears that they had immediately came rushing back. And then around the same time, we all sort of decided that we had to like sort of scrape ourselves off the pavement. So after that, I started going back for the practice groups, and I had a few phone sessions with Carl, and I started practicing also, and I sort of decided that at this point I have to openly stutter, and kind of let that happen and advertise all the time, and just sort of try in, because even though in the program we were going advertising all the time and calling up people and doing surveys, I could tell that there was definitely a risk of me sort of being like, okay, like that's all taken care of. And now I can kind of move on and just try and be fluent. But the fact that right after the program, those fears were still very, very, very strong should show me that before I kind of try to even be more fluent, I have to keep on, like, I don't know, like I should try to reduce fear. So where I'm at now is I'm practicing my vocal fold management to kind of like almost as like a meditation almost, to kind of just like calm down and kind of like let me know that if I really like have to, I could use it maybe. But for the moment, in most situations, there are some situations where I kind of choose to practice it. Now I'm not at all currently lately. But kind of makes me feel good that I'm not using any tools, and now I can still kind of stay calm, which is something that six months ago could not happen at all.
Yeah, I want to make a comment. You seem very well. You never struck me as unconfident, but you seem very confident right now with your speech and your stuttering. This is the third time on Stutter Talk. your stuttering seems much more forward moving right now. You're not backing up. And my memory of you stuttering before was a lot of backing up. Do you see this too?
So when you say backing up, like what exactly do you mean by that? Like word switching?
Starting to say the previous words again.
Okay.
And it seems like you're sticking with the stuttering mm-hmm. more. And do you think that's true? And do you think that's because of the therapy?
I think that is true. And it definitely is a result of the therapy that I've had. But I don't think that it's something that I specifically learned to do there. It's sort of something that sort of just on my own as a result of being in this environment where I was being challenged. It just sort of ended up.
I want to get back to this idea of practicing.
Yeah.
So just to point out to our listeners, when you refer to practicing, you mean that vocal fold management skill, right?
Yes.
So which is the fluency shaping-esque speaking strategy. Mm-hmm. It basically is fluency shaping, right, where you're using slow and connected speech at first, and the goal as it's presented to you at the program is that if you use it enough, it will eventually get, quote, close to normal.
Right.
Okay. And then you also made the comment that, like, you practice it sometimes, but at other times you just kind of let it fly.
Well, every day, like, I actually practice the four-part breathing for about half an hour in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are certain situations, like social situations, that are basically low stress. So it's not a situation where we're like in the first place I would even have fear. So in those situations, I'll you use it more.
Right.
Because it's a skill that for me actually works. And I like it.
So when you say it works, right?
Well,
does it work everywhere? Are you saying that you tasted a lot of fluency at the intensive in that kind of environment? Like, what do you mean when you say it works for you?
Well, when I am using it, I'm not fluent, but it kind of keeps me calm, and like what I've realized through the intensive and being a lot more aware of what's like happening is that my breathing is completely just uncoordinated. So whether or not the vocal fold management is making me fluent, it's allowing me to control my breathing.
I have a request.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the rest of your answer, but for our listeners' sake, could you answer the rest of the question using the vocal fold management? Because
sure.
I only say that because I don't think you're using it now.
No, I'm not using any tools right now. Okay.
Thank you.
What was the question? The rest of it?
You did a good job answering what I asked you. It's not that it works to achieve fluency, but it just works almost as like a mindset for you when you're talking.
Yeah, to just I'm using it right now. And did you tell you no before I start using it?
It's a really interesting take. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. But before I start using it, at this point when I'm using it, I'm using it very, very slowly, because my rate just goes out of control very quickly for me.
I have one more. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I really want you to demonstrate this to us. Maybe you can demonstrate it to us and tell us why you weren't using it at the beginning of the show.
Well,
I know it's a challenge.
Yeah, totally.
So I probably wasn't using it when the show first began, because for me it still feels almost scary. And it's sort of hard to sustain. And at this point, when I am using it, I really have to plan exactly what I'm going to say, which for me is really hard. And on the show, I want to say exactly what I want to say. So it just didn't seem like in my opinion, an optimal situation to use it. So I didn't use it.
I was expecting the tool to be much more noticeable than what you just showed us. How about you, Eric? I mean, I hope you don't mind me saying that.
Yeah, no. The way you set it up,
I was expecting to hear of something very noticeable.
That's what I should be doing, probably. But.
No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm surprised that I like how you use the tool and you have a high tolerance for the stuttering.
Yeah.
That's something that I have to say is unusual in my experience. Eric, I know you got something to say.
Well, I'm going to use it now a little bit also.
Well, and I'm not going to know how to use it.
No, but it's really interesting, again, the take that you have on it. Because when you're talking about a fluency shaping perspective, which is really where the vocal fold management comes from,
mm-hmm.
right? The goal is fluency. Right. But you're not saying that.
No.
I don't think.
No. Because if that was my goal, I'd probably fail a lot, and I don't want to fail particularly, or to feel like I failed, which is not a good feeling for me, and I like to avoid doing that. I like to avoid feeling like that.
No, but you have a very unusually healthy approach to this, because a lot of people who stutter, who use these tools, expect to not stutter. And I really believe you when you're telling us that you have a high tolerance for stuttering in your speech. It's refreshing, because I don't hear it enough.
Yeah. Where that sort of comes from is that before the actual program started, I was on this show in the past. I was on the AIS blog.
Stutteringtreatment.org, sorry.
Yeah. I should probably advertise that.
Well, but a little plug is good, because it's a really neat blog. So yeah. Stutteringtreatment.org to see more Roisin.
Yeah. And I feel like I sort of had the opportunity to like do a lot of emotional work. That a lot of people who come into the intensive program haven't really done. And they'll probably have the opportunity to do that work after. Maybe. Because I feel like it might be hard to do that work after you're already expecting the stuttering to not really happen. So, coming into the program, a huge thing for me was to make sure that I didn't sacrifice my conviction that I hate using this. wouldn't feel punished. For my stuttering, which in the past is something that I've completely that is basically self-inflicted. And that was like my basis coming in. So with every tool and every exercise that sort of happened there. I was always pushing back on it with that. And that definitely helps me to sort of maintain my mental integrity throughout the program and after.
Well, Jimmy Blade, I'm on again, the pub where I was born. He played it from the night time to the peaceful early morn. He soothed the souls of psychos and the men who had the horn. And they all left very happy in the morning.
It's interesting to me because a lot of people who do an intensive program, they never really did any of the talking about stuttering beforehand. The intensive program always seems to be like the last step, like you're down on your knees and you're looking for something and you go in and you get this burst. And that's what happened to me and to a bunch of other people who have been on the show. I just want to ask you, and then we're going to get into a couple of other topics here, but I just want to ask you, you said that you hate using this thing, and I'm curious as to what you meant, because in the beginning of the show, it was, yeah, I'm psyched about this, it makes me feel good, I'm going to use this, and then you said you hate to use it, so please.
Let me explain that. I think that at this point, in this type of situation, where I really want to like have a long, in-depth like sentence, I don't think that I've had enough practice to make that happen here. And the reason behind that is that I don't think that I've like truly committed to making vocal flow management happen at all. There's like a possibility that in the future I could decide to try and make that happen. But it's not now. And so for that reason, when I get into these situations where like I'm looking at you and I want to like tell you this complex thought, the vocal flow management at this point kind of falls short.
I please.
So much to say. Go ahead, no, Eric Jackson.
I'm just curious about how you say that, like now in this situation, you're in person with us. We haven't seen you in a while. We're having a couple beers. We're hanging, and you want to just talk, right? You want to be natural and you want to communicate. You want to feel free. You don't want to have these boundaries on you, which is sometimes what, especially in the quote beginning, fluency shaping, vocal fold management, whatever, feels like. Are you thinking, or are you under the impression that eventually, if you work on this enough, then you will feel comfortable in these situations in the future, being able to use this strategy and just talking and just feeling free?
Yes, I am. But not okay. I think that if I, I'm gonna stop using because I just want to talk.
Okay, sure.
I think that
please
that
do.
If I get to a point where it's something that I really commit to, that I really want to like work on it, that it's not that it'll reteach me how to speak. Like I don't think that I'll. There are people who called into the program. Like she's like these rotating probably five people that always like call into the program. And talk to the people who were in
Joel
the program.
Was
yeah, he called. It was great.
Joel.
I liked.
Yeah, wait. Have you ever met Joel before?
No, I've never met him in person, but he called in.
You wouldn't be the first woman to say, "Oh, Joel, I like him." That seems to be the general response from the ladies.
But wait.
Just having a little fun.
Yeah.
But Joel wasn't one of the persons that got on, used the tool, and spoke fluently and demonstrated.
No. Okay, yeah. And a lot of people in the program were like, "I'm not sure why he's having him call in." I was like, "Right. You." But the first three people who called in were mostly people who took her program like in the 60s or so, or not the 60s, but like before they had introduced like the emotional aspect, like the advertising and that kind of stuff.
I just
in the 90s, like, right?
No, she told me there's someone from like 1968. Maybe 1988, okay. Maybe that's something like that.
Okay, yeah. I just have to say
that. Did I just, like, really overshoot
really
something?
Really funny, Roshi.
Wait, what did I do?
You just called them all old. That's great.
No, but
from like 1924, some guy called in.
No.
From World War I, he took the program with Catherine Otto She. That's just
I have a
funny.
Point, though.
Yeah, I know.
That from what I've heard, that recently... But from what I've heard, that recently the program has become much more oriented towards kind of accepting the fact that you stutter.
Yeah.
Where I feel like when she first started maybe having them, it was much more fluency shaping.
Of course.
So I think that a lot of people who kind of called in and told us, like, I'm completely fluent. Stuttering is who I used to be, and not that person anymore. And like, you don't have to be that person either. Like, you can get past it too. More people who, when they left the program, practiced like all the time. And to me, like, I don't want to practice all the time. So I think that would be possible for someone to practice all the time and make it work. I don't think that for me, if I practice it, in my opinion, I could practice it like all the day, and I'll probably still stutter. But I do think that if I chose to use it more, I would definitely see results.
I cannot wait, Roisin, to talk to you in 3 years.
Yeah,
with complete respect, I know why they feature you on those blog videos. No, I do, because you get it. You want to use the so-called fluency tools, but you also know it's okay to stutter, and you get it. And a lot of people who stutter, maybe we don't talk about it enough, are chasing that fluency god, and you don't seem to be doing that. And personally speaking, I think that's a healthy thing.
Me too.
I have a question to ask you. There sounds like going through the American Institute has been very positive for you. Can you make me a believer? There's one thing I have a doubt about. Eric, you're going to get us all beer?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, here's my question. Yep. You made a comment something like you realized that you had to learn to coordinate your breathing.
Yeah.
That always kind of annoys me when people go, not you, don't annoy me, but when therapists tell their clients you need to coordinate, you're not breathing right.
Mm-hmm.
Convince me, like, what am I not getting? Because as a stutterer and as a therapist, I've never thought of that as being that important, mm-hmm. but I think it is for you. So why is that so important?
For me, I think it is because I talk so quickly that if I'm in a situation and it's a high stress situation, and I'm stuttering and also speaking quickly, like my breathing is just all over the place. And for me, the reason why like that's bad And I never had a therapist there to tell me that my actual breathing is off. I could just tell.
But you did get,
after
I
started again, managing it.
With all respect to them, you did get that impression though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm out of breath. And I'm like, at certain times I'll have headaches. And I think that's because my like oxygen flow was off in certain situations.
I have to say, coming from you, from where you are now, it makes a lot of sense. However, I hear a lot of people who stutter say not the oxygen flow part, but the part that their breathing is not coordinated. And I often think they're just repeating what somebody has told them.
Yeah, because let's be honest here, or I'll be honest, and everybody will say what they think. I went through the same exact program. I did it 4 years ago now, right? Yeah.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it has been.
Wow.
And the reason that I don't buy into the breathing brouhaha is because, let's be honest, like, you can't retrain a person how to breathe while speaking. It's just not possible. Now, I totally get that we feel out of breath, and I certainly feel out of breath a lot. And it hurts sometimes. It hurts my chest, you know?
And I never did, coming from a covert background. I never allowed myself to stutter enough to feel out of breath. But please go ahead.
Right. But
it was always a fear of mine that I would be out of breath.
Interesting. I bet a part of you still like had that weird feeling in your chest though.
Every time you, Roisin, or anyone else stutters, I hold my breath.
Or when
I feel like I'm holding my breath. I might not.
When you were afraid of stuttering yourself, though, I mean.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel the stuttering. I feel the tension. And I work on not feeling tension when other people are stuttering, especially when I'm with my clients.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. And like, to me, breathing is such an involuntary, or speech breathing, I'll say, is such an involuntary action, right? I do get how some people would want to do yoga, would want to work on their breathing in that way, just to get some sort of stress relief. But as far as breathing and speaking, mm-hmm. like that is probably the one thing I'm most against at the program, how Catherine speaks about speech breathing and retraining in the four steps and all that.
So I disagree actually, because I come from a home in a background where I was raised doing Tai Chi, and that Tai Chi involves a lot of breathing, and I think that we do have an incredible control over our breath if you're conscious of it.
When you're speaking, though? Yeah, I totally agree with you there. We certainly have incredible control over our breath. I used to be able to hold my breath for 2 minutes when I was swimming. But there you go. But while you're speaking, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I believe that, and this is not coming from a place where I'm like, I believe that eventually, because of my stuttering, I'll be able to breathe so I won't stutter. But I think that if I worked on it, I could breathe so that I'm comfortable. And to me, when I say the breathing is uncoordinated, I'm not like, and you can hear it sounds really weird. It's uncoordinated. I'm taking breaths. It's just that I can feel it. And it makes me anxious.
Can I mention something?
Yeah.
I try so hard not to be offensive, but I notice you have a very fast rate of speech.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think that part of the breathing that you like so much is that it slows you down?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to add anything to that? Or did I just say it?
No, yeah. I think that's a huge part of it. And when I say that I believe in working on breathing, it's not because I believe that it's a very strong tool, but I just believe that in some way it can help.
And I think that is really what it's all about, is that all roads could potentially lead to Rome. And it sounds like that the breathing aspect isn't good for you, which makes me believe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
At least for you.
Right, yeah.
And it's okay. Good.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that if someone else who started came to me and said, like, what's the one thing that I could work on, I wouldn't say breathing. It's just for me. Because I have such a quick rate that I'm often out of breath. So for me, I can tell that at times I'm just completely deprived of oxygen.
Just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Stutter Talk, episode 150, with Peter and Eric and special guest Roisin. Special return guest Roisin McManus. Eric, did you ever think we'd get to 150?
No, I didn't.
It sort of snuck up on us, didn't it?
It really did, and I'm looking forward to 250.
You know what's funny is that it seems right around the corner. It really does. It seems so right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and certainly. With the new equipment now and the chance to kind of get together and do these in person now, it just adds like an extra oomph too. And there's so much to talk about. Like just looking at this show here, we're always gonna disagree on things. There's always stuff to talk about. And I think with stuttering, it's so important to put the disagreements out there.
Absolutely. So let's just remind everyone that this is really the... I'm not reading your signals today at all.
You said break.
Oh, break. Yeah,
okay. It's been a half hour.
Okay.
This is break.
In a different life, when I would play in a band and someone did that, would mean to speed up the tempo. Yeah, it's exactly where
speak I'm faster.
I just want to remind everyone that you're listening to the Stutter Talk Empire or Nation or Brigade or whatever you're going to call it. So this is the Stutter Talk podcast. We also have the Stutter Talk videos at our YouTube page and stuttering101.com, which is more of our lecture-like series featuring leading professionals in the field. Having said that, we're going to take a break.
Wait, we can't call it an empire. That sounds so pretentious. I'm sorry. I know
that's the point.
Wait.
The empire?
So Roisin likes it. So fine.
Okay. On the subway over here, I thought, Stutter Talk Empire. No. That's what we're about.
I'm going to veto it.
Well, that's because you're the dark side.
Good. Okay. So this is break.
And when we come back from the break, you're going to hear a clip of Tavis Smiley interviewing Carly Simon. For our international listeners, Tavis Smiley is a well-known public radio, public television interviewer in the United States. Really well-known.
The Stuttering 101 podcast by Stutter Talk features lecture-like discussions with leading researchers and therapists in the field of stuttering. Episodes have discussed the topics of stuttering onset, measuring public attitudes about stuttering, effective communication, successful therapy outcomes, integrating speech tools, the role of genetics in stuttering, and much, much more. Guests have included Dr. Dennis Drena, from the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Scott Yaris from the Stuttering Center of Western Pennsylvania, Lee Caggiano, the director of Friends, Dr. Philip Schneider, who wrote, directed, and produced the film Transcending Stuttering, The Inside Story, and many, many more. Check Stuttering 101 out at stuttering101.com.
Freshman in college, and I was taking Italian. And I had been born, or no, I hadn't been born with a stutter, but I developed a stutter, a very serious stutter, at about the age of 6, mm-hmm. and had tremendous difficulty in saying anything. And it was agonizing for me to answer questions at school when they were asked, and I knew the answer. I knew it was 1868, but I couldn't say anything mm-hmm. because I was scared to say, you know, and just distort my face and distort my voice. And it was a harrowing experience. My mother had taught me how to speak with rhythm, mm-hmm. which is what I tell a lot of the stutterers that I come into contact with now. And it started with my leg. You know, I would be at the dining room table, mm-hmm. and I would want to say, please pass me the water, but I wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to say it. So I would try to say, you know, and as soon as my mother said, just tap your thigh, mm-hmm. and add the please pass the water. Please pass the water right now. Yeah, please pass the water. And there was a little bit of syncopation added to it, which was just naturally genetic possibility. And I learned to talk with a very bizarre sense of rhythm. These things together, which is one of the ways I got through my stammering mm-hmm. in the rest of high school. By the time I went to college, I was adding melody to these Italian poems and adding my almost jazz-like rhythm to them. So it'd be, you know, Yo sono verde.
I'm just laughing on the inside, because as a child, I had a stuttering problem as well. And I ain't sold no records yet. I'm like, if I had been at your dinner table with your mama and learned, and I'm black, I got rhythm. I mean, I should have sold a record somewhere along the way. Golly.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I mean, how did you get over your stammer?
I just, you know, it's funny you should mention this, or I ask this, because as a child, at the age of 13, 12 or 13, I'm in Indiana, an all-white community. Long story short, I end up discovering this guy named Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who's long since been dead, but he really helped bring me back to life, because I got over my stuttering problem by listening to all of his records. There was a guy who went to my church who bequeathed to me, gave to me as a gift, a lot of the recordings of Dr. King that Berry Gordy from Motown had recorded. And so there's a collection of King LPs, and it was listening to those King LPs and learning how to emulate Dr. King's cadence, which was, you know, slow and deliberate and methodical. It was listening to King in the living room floor of the trailer that I grew up in that I learned how to slow out, slow down. It wasn't just a stutter. It was a stutter and talking fast, which I still do. But it was the combination of the two that's causing me a problem. So listening to King and getting to his cadence, getting into his rhythm, into his style, helped. And little by little, I got better at it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Stutter Talk. Peter and Eric with special return guest Roisin McManus. Roisin, are you hanging in?
Mm-hmm, hanging in.
Awesome. 206-888-4619, StutterTalk at StutterTalk.com. We just heard a clip, Tavis Smiley talking to the famous singer-songwriter Carly Simon. Two things I want to point out. One, Carly Simon seemed to suggest that tapping your leg to get the words out, to speak in a rhythm, is a good thing. I love the fact that they're talking about stuttering. I hate the fact that she's giving really crappy advice. Roisin, any thoughts?
The first thing that kind of came to mind when I heard it is that I had a speech therapist when I was about 8 or 9 who actually told me to hit the table whenever I stuttered. And I remember looking at her and being like, you are crazy. And I didn't even...
Good for you.
I didn't even like... I was like, okay.
You knew at the time, though, that there was something wrong. And that's so important.
We always get back to our topic. Guts. Our guts are often good. But please, please.
I was just imagining myself slapping a table in school. And I was like, what? I'm not going to slap a table. But hearing that clip was... I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how much I actually... But leave her almost, because I'm not sure if that tool could take her to a point where she's pretty much speaking fluently. That was the first thing. I was like, I don't know how she could get from there. But I find that a lot of people who stutter would talk about it. They say the one thing that helped me was, I don't know, hearing like acting or something. I'm kind of like a little curious as to how that actually ended up in the stutter being gone.
But it seemed that there was a BS factor there that was high. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, I don't know what she's, but I mean, I had the same reaction that I had to the speech therapist. I was just like, okay. I mean, it didn't make me angry, but it didn't really hit me effectively. I was just like, okay, this is another person just coming out with a,
yeah, I totally agree. It seems a little bit like revisionist history. Like,
oh, good one, Eric.
Yeah. You remember back, like, oh, what did I do? What can I equate with me getting a little better with my stuttering? And tapping your foot. Like, of course, the tapping your foot is one of those things. It does work for a while, but it gets me so mad sometimes that, first of all, what's Carly Simon's deal? Because we tried to get her on this show, and her publicist said that she isn't a person who stutters. I get so angry when people in these positions have such a power to kind of get word out there, and I feel like she consistently doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be honest, say I was the one who spoke to her representative on the phone. And the representative basically said to me, Carly Simon will come on Stutter Talk, but she's confused because she's not a person who stutters. And I said, well...
She's confused?
Well, that... I didn't... All of us are confused. That was basically the conversation. And yeah. I said, well, we're not asking her on to talk about her new album, or we're asking her to talk about her experience with stuttering. And the person who returned the phone call when I contacted her people said, well, she doesn't stutter. And I said, well, that's what we would want to talk about.
Right.
And that was it. That was the end of it. And it seemed very odd to me that her people wouldn't be able to basically admit on any level that she had a history of stuttering, especially since she is open about it in other... none of it made sense.
Yeah. And she also says things like, I mean, maybe it's true. I don't really think it's a healthy way to look at it. But she also says something about, like, oh, no, I wasn't born a stutterer. I started stuttering when I was six. And to me, that sounds more like revisionist history or something that someone once told her. And that's like what she's spreading now.
It goes back to my
just like these people who stutter. Hey, they can say whatever they want about their experience, but I'm not just going to sit here and not get pissed off when they're spreading stuff that isn't educated.
On the flip side of that, I thought I was so pleasantly surprised. I watched the YouTube video to hear Carly Simon. And when Tavis Smiley mentioned Martin Luther King and how Tavis Smiley stuttered and Martin Luther King helped him, I was sold. I believed it. It made sense. It was refreshing. I loved the fact that he basically pointed to, when I heard Martin Luther King speak, I realized I could speak differently too. Roisin, any thoughts?
To be honest with you, I sort of had a similar reaction to him that I had to her.
Why?
Well, to her, it was just like, in my opinion, she was blatantly almost, I don't want her to like call me and like get mad at me, but lying.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, I would say scripted. Very scripted.
There was something that was just seemed...
Or just uneducated.
Yeah, but it just didn't seem... But it's not uneducated because she actually had the experience. So it's not about being educated. Because I just don't... I mean, I don't know.
It's exactly about being educated, though. She had an experience, so she has the emotional side of it, but... Not the intellectual, like what actually, like objective information, and that's why I get angry.
Well, okay, like, but she didn't go beyond her own experience.
But here's the thing, though.
I understand.
I'm gonna give this first to Roisin and then to Eric. Speaking like Martin Luther King, which I can't do, but Martin Luther King spoke beautifully, great rhythm, like a preacher, like a rabbi. And that's very related to breathing, speaking with phrasing, speaking with pausing. And I kind of feel, Roisin, that that's a different way of saying what you said earlier.
Right.
Like, I see that as being breathing control or rate control. Right. And that's why I sort of thought that would appeal to you more. I'm a little surprised, Roisin. Not disappointed.
Man, we're putting her on the chopping block today.
It's her third time.
Yeah, it's her third time.
Let's not her talk. Come on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. That it wasn't that he was using any kind of secondary behavior at all. He was just kind of thinking more consciously about how he was approaching speaking. I guess that I'm just like not really sure how that, because I feel like I hear all these stories of people who used to stutter, and they have these techniques that they used that I've never heard a person who I've met in person actually say.
That's why I liked it so much, is because what Tavis Smiley was talking about is something that helped me a lot. I will never say that I talk too fast, but I did a lot of voluntary stuttering, a lot of talking about stuttering, and I did a lot of rate control. And for years, I practiced talking like this. And for me, there were times where I wanted to stutter as much as I could. Mm-hmm. And there were times where I wanted to not stutter. And the rate control piece really helped me. And I really felt that that's what Tavis Smiley said. So maybe because it was so close to something I experienced, I related to it. He didn't say it that clearly, but my gut was it was about the rate. I mean, Martin Luther King spoke like Mr. Rogers.
Right.
And I mean that respectfully. So, but right. But I get your opinion.
No. Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Opinions are good.
He's going to disagree with me now.
I agree with you, Roisin, in the sense that I got the same impression from the two of them. That
they were both full of it?
Yes.
Really?
Her tapping her hand, creating a rhythm like that, and him speaking in a cadence like the great, like there is something rhythmic to speaking in a
Wait.
Shush. There
Do you
is
listen
something.
To him?
What?
Do you listen to Tavis Smiley?
No.
I have for years.
Okay.
And now that I've heard him, now that I heard the Carly Simon interview, it makes sense. How
to speak
he talks.
Like a different person? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, right. Exactly. To speak like a different person. Listen, it's, to me, it's the same thing. Tapping your hand, there's rhythm and there's cadence. Speaking like a great orator, there's rhythm and cadence in a great orator's speech, right? It's the same exact thing. And what he seems like, he seems to be saying the same exact thing as her. Like, he's using this thing, which is fine. It's his choice. And if he wants to do that, hey, he has made a wonderful living doing what he does. And I'm not questioning his calls or his choices or whatever. I'm just saying that to put that out there for the general public to hear and definitely misconstrue is...
I mean...
I don't think he meant to misconstrue it. I think he was sharing his experience.
I'm not saying he meant to... Exactly, which is fine. I'm not saying he meant to do anything. Like, people are allowed to speak from their own perspective. I totally agree with that, you know? It's just a shame to me that Joe Schmo is going to hear that and think, oh, hey, I heard that this guy, Tavis Smiley, studied a great orator. And now he speaks with a cadence, and he swings his arm, and that helps him get his words out.
Okay, there's nothing about swinging an arm. To be fair,
I'm just saying
he was talking about rate control.
Okay,
that's people with rhythm and cadence. That's the extreme, maybe, but that's where it's going, and it has to be stopped.
I mean, in my in my opinion, when I heard it, it didn't make me angry, her or him. But I understand what you mean about that. Someone could be watching it and could misconstrue what they're saying. To me, it was just clear that because of the situation that they were like not in this on Stutter Talk, they were like in this talk show talking about a whole different thing of topics. That both of them are really simplifying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't
that's very
think,
wise. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's true.
And I don't think that because of that fact, in my opinion, for me to get angry is just sort of cat. I mean, it doesn't even warrant my anger. But I understand what you mean about that. Someone listening to that could be like, oh, it's like her. I'm gonna start like tapping on things and then develop behaviors that are just more hurtful. But
yeah, it doesn't necessarily get me angry either. But we do have this forum called Stutter Talk where we talk about things like this and we really think about things like this, and that's why I brought it up. And let me just add for our any new listeners we may have right now,
Both of you,
the reason why doing something like tapping your foot or swinging your arms while you're speaking is bad is because something like that can work and work, I mean, help a person get words out for a certain time. But usually what happens is after a certain time, it stops, quote, working. And then they have to do more of those things. And then they have to do something else. And then it gets harder. And then it increases in frequency.
So I have a quick question for Eric. Do you feel that every person who stutters has a responsibility to sort of accurately and sensitively, like, advocate for themselves and for other people who stutter?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. But I do.
Right.
So that's exactly what I'm doing right now on this show.
I just want to say one other thing. Most people who stutter don't go to therapy, are not part of research. Tavis Smiley, I believe, was a stutterer. He sold me on that. Perhaps it was different than how I stuttered. But most people who stutter, we don't know. So when Tavis Smiley shares his experience, I mean, considering that 3 million Americans stutter, and I've met maybe 1,000 of them, most people who stutter, I don't know. And Tavis Smiley said something to me that I bought, that when he heard somebody speak using rate control, it helped him to see that he could speak differently. I bought it. It's something that when somebody said to me, my therapist, why don't you try slowing it down? Why don't you try speaking like this? And mind you, I was doing the voluntary stuttering at the same time. It was earth-shattering to me that, wait a second, by simply slowing down, my stuttering is going to be less of a problem. Wow, that actually helped me. So when Tavis Smiley says that, it made sense.
I just want to say,
Eric needs to get the last word. I'm sorry. He needs the last word. Go ahead, Eric.
Not get the last word. It's killing me. I'm just going to let it go. This is an exercise for me just to let this go. Okay.
Well, as he gets the last word,
you're
not letting nothing go.
He can advocate. He has a forum. He doesn't appear to be struggling with stuttering anymore. Someone else has to advocate for people who stutter a lot.
Is there tot?
Anywhere you want to take it.
Yeah.
So I...
This is your show.
Yeah.
The Roisin Hour with Eric.
I was actually having a few issues during the intensive because in the first week we're encouraged to stutter as much as we actually can. So at that point, every word I was blocking, which was like felt bad, but I couldn't help it at all. And then, at the same time,
you couldn't help it?
No, I couldn't control it at all.
So you were like doing the assignment by default, right?
I'm not sure how it actually worked, but everyone in the group was stuttering all the time, and everyone was like, why is this happening? Why can't I stop stuttering?
Why do you think that was? Because I've seen what you're saying, but why do you think it was like that? So you'd go out in public and you'd talk and you'd go back and you'd talk in therapy and you would stutter a lot. Why?
I don't know.
I know. Because you were allowed to.
Right.
Probably. I'm sorry to be so blunt and I'm usually not like that. But yeah, because you were allowed to. But please, you had a thought.
Huh? Right. So, and then at the same time, I think that Catherine or people in the program, the people who were the staff, sort of thought that because we're all so frustrated because this is happening all the time, that we had to like have some hope or something, or like had to be like, trust us, believe me, this will only last for a few days, and then you're going to be completely fine. And so she kept showing us videos, not she, but everyone there kept showing us videos of people who stuttered at the gala that they usually have. And one video that we saw a few times was Joe Biden.
But wait, I'm sorry, but does he stutter?
And that was my question. That was like what I was, the same thing he's kind of saying, that he had this, he's actually at an event. He's not even like just talking to people, but he's actually at an event where it's supposed to be like about people who stutter. And he's talking about how it was so, so painful. And so there was a word that like this like strong word. I can't even. He was like how painful it was, and how like he was so glad that basically that how he was so happy that it was over almost, and that there was a place that it would make it be over for other people.
I know Joe Biden, what he has said and written about stuttering, there's no doubt he stuttered.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, he definitely did.
But he makes the big problem of showing up at a stuttering event and forgetting to stutter.
Right.
And that's all sorts of.
But at the same time, I can understand, like, he's probably like, he doesn't know what to do when he gets there. I mean, I can imagine myself being like, in the intensive program, at the end of the program, everyone like stands up and speaks, and I'm before that I spoke. I was like, I can't stutter during this speech, and I was freaking out about that. And then I was like I understand his pressure to sound fluent. Like I don't blame him for doing that, but the fact that we were being shown that, like, don't worry, you're stuttering now, but he's like, I don't know. It just was, it didn't.
It's
send a positive message to me.
Tasteful.
I think
it didn't send a good message to me.
I think you said that very, very well. And I was there, and we were sitting at one of the back tables because we were all the people who couldn't afford to pay. So she just let us in for free. So like Karen, me, I don't even, Sam, I think, and like a couple of other people. And while he was speaking, I do feel bad about this. We were like cracking jokes, like, this guy doesn't even stutter. Like, what's the deal? Like, why is he the spokesperson at this event? But like you said, the truth of the matter is that it's certainly not his fault. Like Peter was saying before, there's no doubt in my mind that he's struggled with stuttering what he wrote.
Biden doesn't understand he's supposed to stutter at a stuttering event.
I don't think he was told to stutter at all.
He wasn't. This problem with other stuttering groups.
I was getting to the point that it's not.
Dude, Roisin and I were talking.
It's not the speaker. It's the person who puts the speaker into the position.
Absolutely.
And listen, I love AIS. Like, it has given me so much, you know? But there is a belief, and there is some truth in it, that getting famous people raises more awareness, brings more money in so other people can get therapy. And I totally believe that. But the rub is that the people that you're going to get up there, like we had, oh my God, that same event, the same gala, some guy from Bristol's Meyer Squibb, like some finance geek, spoke as well. Didn't stutter once, you know. I don't even know from, based on his speech, if he really was a person who stuttered. But it's like, who are the responsible people putting into these positions?
That's why Stutter Talk should run the stuttering world. That's why we need a Stutter Talk empire. Eric, empire, Roisin, take it.
I mean, I think it's hard to sort of, I mean, I'm not quick to completely judge the people who encourage them to go up there and be fluent. Because I think that there is something to be said for that some people, but before they kind of explore like their own head with stuttering, that like they need to have hope. Even if,
But wait a second. But hope is seeing a person confident, right, stuttering their ass off,
right,
up there and being like, hey, it's not going to be so bad.
Right.
Like, and maybe on top of that, I'll be more fluent. Like, right. Guys, to me, that's hope.
You're right. Okay. You're right.
Let me say something. I know I've said this before. I grew up in Delaware. I grew up several blocks from Joe Biden. I've seen Joe Biden when I was a kid several times. My childhood was not very good because of stuttering. I was very covert, never liked talking, really. Woody Starkweather once wrote in one of his textbooks that stuttering robs the child of childhood. I felt like that. And I remember meeting Joe Biden, and Joe Biden didn't stutter. And I didn't meet him at a stuttering event. I met him at like an ice cream festival. I met him at the Jewish Community Center. Like, I remember, like,
what was he doing there?
Dude, yeah. I remember walking through.
Peter was really weird.
I remember walking through the Jewish Community Center with my grandfather with like a towel and a bathing suit. And Joseph Biden and Bill Bradley, the two senators from Delaware, were speaking to like 20 people. Like, it was a small state. Whatever. Joseph Biden didn't stutter. How cool would it have been if he would have known that by letting a little kid know that a senator could stutter could change a life.
Mm. Right.
And yeah. The fact that nobody, and God, we love Catherine, we love AIS.
Yeah.
But absolutely. Somebody should tap Senator, now Vice President Biden, on the shoulder and say, dude, you gotta let some stuttering rip. You have to. It's bad. It's wrong. It's wrong to give a microphone to a stutterer who's not stuttering. They should be whipped. Joseph Biden. Joseph.
Is that from like kind of
Joseph
Street all of a sudden?
Joseph Biden.
It did. It just got like really dark.
Here's the thing. A person who stutters, who's billed as a stutterer, should not be speaking if they're not stuttering. I really believe that. Mm. It sends the wrong message.
Yeah.
The wrong message. And by the way, being from Delaware, there's a lot of hometown pride. It's great to see Senator, now Vice President Biden, doing well. He should have stuttered. Mm-hmm. But nobody told. Or maybe they, I don't know. I mean,
maybe if you voted for him.
Dude, we can't get political on this show. Come on, dude. Leave the politics aside.
You're totally right, though. Like, it isn't that his words are sending or a person like him. It's not like their words are sending the wrong message. It's just what they're doing. It's the salient stuff, because that's what people pick up.
Okay, Roisin, maybe you haven't heard me tell this story. I'll never forget over 10 years ago being at one of my first self-help conferences, mm-hmm, and somebody was speaking as a stutterer, and he wasn't stuttering. And I overheard a mother say to a child, to her son, one day you can stutter like this guy, but that guy wasn't stuttering. And I just, my stomach dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he wasn't stuttering. How are you going to stutter like him? He's not stuttering.
Right.
Hey, okay. I didn't mean it to get so dark.
No.
It just sort of
dark. It's not dark at all.
No, yeah. No, but this is what I'm talking
there
about.
There should be a self-help.
I just interrupted you mid-stutter.
Bylaws.
And it made you stutter more,
I
feel like.
Can I say something? After
doing, it did, right?
Absolutely. After doing Stutter Talk for how many years? No, I was going to say 9 years.
Well, according to Roisin's
since 1924, since World War I, I have been stuttering this year. I've been working, Roisin, in a public school for 9 years. This year, my principal has heard me stutter really hard. She's never heard me stutter like that before. Mm-hmm. And I haven't cared. And I have to think, Eric, that part of it is because of Stutter Talk. I'm just... I don't feel that I was never changing. Well, not never. I don't change words regularly, but I was always really using speech tools. And this year, for whatever reason, I've been stuttering during meetings. I've been stuttering in front of teachers I don't like. Mm-hmm. Not only teachers, it's easy to stutter in front of a teacher you like. Mm-hmm. It's harder to stutter in front of people you don't like. And I have to think that, like, even though Eric and I think we started this show with a lot of acceptance, mm-hmm. there's so many layers of acceptance. Yeah. More topics, guys? Is that okay? Eric's giving me the drum roll, please.
I got to go out to dinner. Yeah, no, I'm pissed because this is going great, and I hate to be the spoiler.
Okay.
Although we did run out of beer, so it doesn't
We did run out of beer.
Although I have a bottle of wine.
We will say that we're expecting to do a special midweek October 1st show. So we've been posting shows on Sundays. Please check stuttertalk.com Thursday. Well, I don't know what day of the week it is, but it's going to be October 1st. We expect to have a special show up that day. We expect Roisin McManus to be joining us again next week. We're looking forward to it. She keeps us sharp. She's a level head in this area of non-leveled head.
And she doesn't take Peter.
And she keeps Eric in line. Thank you for listening to Stutter Talk, 206-888-4619. StutterTalk@StutterTalk.com. Eric Roisin, next week.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Before that, I'm sorry.